Lane and Allison in the morning. 96.3 WDVD.
He is Santa's favorite psychologist. Therapy Thursday with Dr. Stephen Craig.
Santa's favorite therapist?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were discussing off air all of his problems. Yeah.
Seriously, Santa comes into Dr. Steve's office and he sits down. He's like, so I basically eat all my stress.
I'm the fattest I've ever been.
I've had 148 heart attacks in 1 year.
Everybody needs a piece of me.
Really? How about something for me? And why do I always have to wear this stupid red suit? I'm sweating like crazy. Oh, and I gotta haul all these toys around. I need a break.
And then everyone forgets about me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A week from now, I'm nothing.
Yeah. Cookies and milk. Really? How about hooking Santa up with a steak once in a while? Or a snake. For that matter. A snack. We're about T-minus 6 hours away from vacation. If you add up just the time on the air. This is a very serious Therapy Thursday.
This one is.
And Allison, you've got the email.
We have two daughters. Our older daughter, whom I'll call Jenna, is 19 and has been in and out of counseling from age 6 to 17. She has suffered over the years from aggression and defiance and also mild diagnosis of ODD and ADD. She graduated high school by the skin of her teeth. And to be honest, those 4 years were pure hell. She was suspended 3 times in high school for fighting, the last of which she had charges pressed against her for assault and battery. She has an extremely short fuse. And when that fuse blows, everyone needs to watch out. We've tried hard to raise our girls in a very stable, loving home. This has been very hard on our family. Our younger daughter shows no signs of aggression. The oldest daughter has hit us, her parents, more times than I would like to recall. Once she gave me a bloody nose and a black eye. Once she pulled my head down to the ground by my hair so hard I had neck pain for more than a year. She has punched my husband in his face. We've called the police to our house twice. Both times the police managed to talk my husband and I out of sending her to jail. They said that she seems like a nice girl who comes from a good family and she just needs to sort things out. One time a police officer at our house told me that I should hit her back if she hit me again. I'm not going to lie. I have put my hands on my daughter. I've gotten physical with her after she's hit me or her sister. It's sort of like a mother bear protecting her cub. I'm not abusive, but my daughter is. Last weekend, Jenna and her younger sister got into an argument. Perfectly normal sibling rivalry. Only Jenna can't stop at arguing. Right in front of me, she jumped on her sister and repeatedly punched her in the head and shoulders, resulting in extensive bruising and welts. Allison, my daughter is 19. We should be kicking her out of the house. She commutes to college and works part-time. In no way could she support herself on her own. It would be very easy for an outsider to say kick her out, but truthfully, there is nowhere for her to go. We're at the end of our rope again with our daughter. We have told her that if she ever hits another person in this house, she is out, but we don't know where she'll go. Are we enabling our daughter? We need an unbiased opinion. Like I said, it would be very easy to say kick her out, but we love our daughter. We want her to finish college, get a job in her field, and then move out. It would be easy to say get a backbone, but you have not walked in our shoes. We have disciplined. She was grounded more often than not in high school. We worry that she will not outgrow the aggression. Please give us your thoughts.
313-298-9630. How would you handle this if this were your 19-year-old daughter? What would you do? How would you, you know, handle this kind of situation where she's not only just mean, but she's being violent toward her little sister, violent toward you and your husband? What would you do? 313-298-9630. We'll get your thoughts, get Dr. Steve's thoughts, how he would handle it if she had had this conversation with him in his office. Allison, you were the first person to see this email.
I replied to her. I said, because of the serious nature, I don't even know if I really weighed in. I told her I understand that I haven't walked in your shoes. I said, but I would like to send it to Dr. Steve because sounds like you could do a little bit better than just your
armchair
very knowledgeable
psychologist.
Morning show who's practically doctors themselves. So I feel good that she'll get some professional help. And I really didn't tell her, and I don't want to be judgmental because she is right that we haven't walked in her shoes. And she is right when we say it's easy to say kick her out and be tough when it's not your child and you're not the one that loves her. But I have to say that, man, I mean, if this has been going on from 6, I know you feel like you did all the right things, but somewhere along the line, it wasn't enough. Because I'll tell you, there was one time when I was a teenager, maybe 16-ish, I think I hit my mom or pushed her out of reflex because she was coming at me like a spider monkey.
Yeah.
Because that's what she does. And I accidentally did something like that. And the second I did it, I went, oh. And let's just say it never happened again.
I bet.
It never happened prior or after. I mean, my mom, I know that there's discipline. And I think a lot of parents think that they discipline. But some cases need extreme discipline. And I'm not saying that being physical back with them is the answer. But you do have to protect your younger daughter. And there's absolutely no reason. If she put her hands on you or your husband, it should have never happened again. And there should have been something done. That's the struggle when you have this intense love and you want to protect your daughter. Yep. But at the same time,
you have to do what's best for him.
But she can't stay in the house. She can't.
Here's what I think. In her email, she asks toward the end, are we enabling our daughter? Yeah, you have been for a long time, unfortunately. And I would hate to be in your shoes. And unfortunately, I have not walked in your shoes. So I can't tell you what I would do.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, because I don't really have, what I mean by that is I really don't have a frame of reference on this. And yeah, you're right. Fortunately, I don't. When I was younger, my brother and my dad would get into real big arguments, and it would get close to, but never come to, physical. But all I know is being that angry that much is not healthy. That's not good for her. It's not good for the little sister. It's not good for you and your husband. It's bad. For whatever reason, however it got to this place, this is where it is. So something I think big needs to happen. I don't know what that is. I think it's a given that we go into therapy and that we get a good therapist and we sit down right. And we talk about this. And I don't want to just see a bunch of drugs being handed to someone to calm them down. I want a conversation, an ongoing conversation.
Some drugs.
Yeah, probably.
But maybe some.
But I also want therapy.
I just thought of something, and I think therapy should have probably been happening from the get-go. But I want to tell you something, an exchange that I just had with someone that I know a couple days ago. He's recovering, goes to AA. He's been going to AA for 30 years, and I said, wow. I said, don't you eventually ever get better and you don't have to go for, you know, but he says you give back and you still go because you help the other people. But he was telling me about when he hit rock bottom, when he finally went to AA, and his mom had pretty much turned her back on him.
Mm-hmm.
And after he got clean and sober, he had this conversation with his mom because at the time she was mean. She kicked him out. She wouldn't have anything to do with him. And when he got clean and sober, he looked back and he said, Mom, do you know that you were really mean to me during those years? And she was like, it was the only thing I could do to save you.
All I had left.
All I could do was turn my back on you. And then look what you did. You went and got help because I didn't know any way else to help a junkie but turn my back on you. And she said, and it broke my heart, but I had to do it. And then it made sense because he always carried around, you know, you were really mean to me. You really hurt me during those years. And she's like, it hurt me too. But, you know, so I think sometimes you do have to turn your back on people.
I think you're absolutely right. They call it tough love, among other things. Dana, what would you do?
I agree with both of you. I don't think that she should be in the house. I think counseling should have been a part of this. And they are enabling her. And I would never let anybody put their hands on me.
That's not cool.
Mm-mm.
Shelley, what do you think?
I have a similar situation. My son is 8, and he lacks self-control. We have 2 children. My 11-year-old daughter is completely well-adjusted, control of her emotions, raised under the same conditions. And my son simply has a disorder where he cannot control his emotions. We have been in therapy. We have tried drugs. And we are to a point where he can control his emotions. But it has been a terrible burden to my other child and to me and my husband. But the bottom line is, when he's 19, he's still going to have these problems. He's not going to outgrow them any more than somebody with diabetes is also not going to happen.
So kind of along the lines of what Allison was saying with the recovering alcoholic, you still have to go to those meetings. It is an ongoing struggle that you have to do throughout your life. Len, your son has the same burden. He's now 26.
Yes.
And how is he doing now compared to years past?
Well, the last year he has made more progress towards being a what I hate to term
call
a normal person.
How did he make that adjustment? How did he change his ways?
I think maturity finally kicked in. He was admitted to a hospital several times. He was on medication several times, and it really never changed anything drastically. This last year, there was some tough love that was put into place, and Dad would always be there to give him the hand when mm-hmm. he fell down on his face, and this last year, I wasn't. You know, I at least kept my hand back a little bit more, and he was with a girl that made him feel better than he maybe ever had, and maturity, I think. He was out of the house.
Really helped him. Yeah. Len, thanks for the call. We're glad to hear that he's feeling better. 313-298-9630. I want to go to Roger. Hey, Roger.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to say I've been at it on both sides of the spectrum. When I was in high school, my parents are divorced.
Right.
So you have a chip on your shoulder. I'm 6'6 and 320.
Whoa.
In high school, I took a pot shot. Yeah. In high school, I took a pot shot at my dad.
Oh, boy.
He dropped me like a bad habit. My dad is only 6 foot. And then he threw my bag on my chest and said, see you around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, on the other side of that, my son is 18. I'm divorced, and we hadn't seen each other for a while. It was just a bad scene.
Okay.
So he said, come back. I said, come. He said, I need to come live with you. I need to get away. He was jumping in a gang, getting into some bad things. I talked to my wife. I said, you come back, you come back, you come back.
How did you turn him?
So finally he comes back. I got an 8-year-old with my second wife and a 14-year-old stepdaughter. My son starts the same stuff over here that he was into at my ex-wife's house.
Okay, how did you turn him not to do that?
What we did was, is I put him back to his mother's.
And said, you can't come back until you...
No, wait now. I think what happened was, is when I turned him away, he was finally realizing that, hey, I haven't seen my dad in 5 years.
Right.
And that was the
decisive
moment.
And Roger reminds me of another effective tool that my mom had when I was growing up. With me, because my behavioral problems weren't deep. They were just typical.
Yeah.
But that threat of, you don't like it here, you can go live at your dad's. And heaven, my God, did I never want to go live at my dad's.
There you
and
go.
That's all she'd ever have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple times she'd pack a suitcase and set it right by the door. Then she'd escalate it and she'd say, and she'd pack it and she'd set it by the door and she'd say, apparently you're very unhappy here. So we'll get you to your dad's later. And I would be like, oh my God, I will be so good. I am so sorry.
That is remarkable.
That threat, like Roger was saying along those lines. And that's what we're kind of saying to the emailer. Kick her out. Let her live somewhere else. Tell her you don't like it here.
Yeah. No,
this isn't working. And it may be the best thing you ever do for her.
Brandy.
Yes?
Brandy, Dr. Steve is your therapist?
Yes.
Nice.
Oh, hi, Brandy.
Hi, Dr. Steve. How are you?
Okay.
And you kind of went through a similar thing?
I was a girl in high school who got into fights. I went to a very prestigious private school, was suspended twice, almost got kicked out for fighting. At 19, I moved out. The one thing I have to say is my parents did put me in therapy in high school, which I think is long overdue for the girl. However, my parents never looked at themselves, I don't believe, and said, where did we go wrong? Not saying that these people went wrong. You know, some people are just predisposition to violence. But I really think that if they truly want to help their daughter, they'll all get in therapy together and try and work it out. And if she still is not, like, responding, then I think it's time to take the next step and kick her out.
Mm-hmm. Boy, Brandy, sound like you had a great therapist.
Yes.
Brandy, thanks for the call. Okay, Dr. Steve, you deal with this stuff in your office all the time. This woman comes to your office, explains the situation that she's got. The 19-year-old daughter has been violent for years and years since she was six. It's affecting the younger daughter. She's been violent with the younger daughter. She's been violent with mom and dad. What would you recommend?
Well, I would start at it this way. This is a great, great case for people who either want to be helpers or are in school to learn how to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because this, in a way, is a sucker's game. It's a trap. And it's not an evil. This woman who's sending the email isn't like, you know, set up to try and create a trap. The problem is it's a trap because you can't solve it. And you can't solve it because she has created a situation that is unsolvable and then put you in the situation of trying to solve it.
Yeah.
So why it's a good learning case is that we as people, friends and family and therapists, whatever, want to help. I mean, we take this bait. Oh, this person is in distress. I have to run in and help. But you really can't help them unless you recognize that they've created a situation that they can't be helped in. So an example I'll give you is a few weeks ago, we were talking about anxiety, and I was talking about how anxious people sometimes put you in the impossible dilemma.
Yeah.
The sort of, my kid needs surgery or he'll, you know, have major problems or he might die. But if I give him surgery, it might kill him and he might have problems. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What?
And they want you to bail him out and give him the decision.
And you've got to solve it and you've got to do it. And if you go down path A, that, you know, that's dangerous. And if you go down path, so then you're stuck. And so with anxious people, you just can't go down the path. You have to change the dynamic. And that's the same thing here. What this woman is doing is saying, here's this horrible situation, but, you know, here's the rules. You know, I can't kick her out and you don't understand what's going on and you haven't been in my shoes. You know, sort of like somebody saying, okay, this room here is on fire and you have to save me, but I'm not leaving. I'm not wearing a smoke.
And we're not going to allow you to have any water.
I'm not getting water. I'm not going to wear a flame retardant suit. I'm not going to, you know, put a gas mask on, but it's on hot.
Right.
You know, it's hot. Save me. Save me. And you go, well, you're going to die. I mean, you can't set me in that dilemma and expect me to solve it. So that's the trap here is, and it's not that I'm not saying this is not a horrible spot. I mean, so there's two problems. One is the problem she's presenting, which is, the daughter does all those. I mean, all of it.
I mean,
we could go on and on about how horrible. I mean, even when you were reading it, you could hear us all going, "Ugh,
yeah, no kidding."
How brutal this is! It's frustrating. It's awful. I mean, I can't have enough compassion for the situation. But there's two problems. One problem is that, and the second problem is how they're responding to it, and how they're responding to it. You know, that's a case for family therapy where you have to figure out how the whole system is not working here because one person doesn't operate just independently. Now, sometimes they do, but then you end up having to figure out as a family how you're going to interact with this person, how you're going to deal with it.
Right.
Like that first caller was talking about her 8-year-old, you know.
And how it affects the 11-year-old.
It affects the whole everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a circumstance where the whole family has to get together. Now, maybe there's an organic thing with this daughter or the person she said, and sometimes you have to do medications, sometimes you get a neurological workup. But even with all of that, you have to learn as a system how to deal with this and fix it. And it can't be, we can't do this, we can't do that.
You can't take all the options off the table.
Yeah. If you want me to put this fire out, then it's what it's going to take to put this fire out, right?
Mm-hmm. All options need to be available.
All options need to be available. And I know that they're extremely difficult.
Right.
You know, you can't say, I don't. You know, me as a therapist, I don't understand the dilemma and I haven't been there. Well, I sit here every day with these people with horrible things going on.
Yeah.
And while I might not experience the same one myself, it's not that I haven't been in horrible dilemmas too.
Right.
But it gets down to if we create something that you can't solve, then I can't help you.
Exactly.
So it's really about setting up that situation and getting the family to work on it together instead of just saying we're stuck. The building's on fire and
it's interesting that you pointed that out because when Allison got this email, she was saying to me, she was like, oh my God, it's like she knows what I'm going to say because every time
she sent it to me and she was saying things like, I know you.
Yeah.
You're going to instantly judge me.
Yeah. Which is true. I mean,
but I
don't blame you. I felt the same way you did.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. But you're right. You can't pull away. You can't put in all these rules and restrictions and say, okay, I need you to stop this fire from burning this room and I'm not leaving.
Right.
That's nuts.
Right.
That's crazy.
And that's where the trap is because it plays on us. We want to help. You read this email. It's, oh, I want to help, but you're not letting me help you.
Yeah.
And sometimes people come in and they insist, no, we can't kick them out. I'm saying, well, you don't have to kick her out. Maybe you do A, B, or something.
But it needs to
be on
the table.
One of the options could be kicking her out. One could be, neither. No, we can't do any of those. And then you say, well, then I can't help you. Oh, I guess you're not as good of a therapist as we thought you were.
Hmm.
You know, oh, okay, that's the problem.
Because I didn't give you the answer that you wanted.
Right, because you reject every answer. And but again, it's not that they're difficult. It's very difficult, but a difficult problem needs a difficult solution.
Right.
You have to be able to do that. And that's where it gets to be a problem.
Check them out online, drstephencraig.com, Craig Counseling Services in Birmingham. Therapy Thursday, back again in 2012.
Blaine and Allison in the morning, 96.3 WDVD.